Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So from 1964 to 66, the Munsters hit the airwaves on 1313 Mockingbird Lane with two seasons and 70 original episodes on ABC. Fred Gwynne, Yvonne DiCarlo, Al Lewis, Beverly Owen, and Pat Priest, respectively, and the youngest member of the cast, Butch Patrick, have been entertaining fans of this classic sitcom for over 50 years. And tonight, Butch Patrick joins us in studio. Nice to see you again, Butch.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, everyone knows you as Eddie Munster, but that's not where you got your start.
No, actually, it was an interesting situation. They were an agent was looking at my little sister, and I went along for the ride for a photo shoot. The gentleman had a couple shots left over in his camera, and he thought I was kind of cute and had a look about me, so he took a few photos. One of those pictures he put in his window on Hollywood Boulevard at his studio, and a director and a producer were walking by that were casting a little B-movie called The Two Little Bears, mm-hmm. noticed the picture, tracked me down through that photo.
Eddie Albert, Jane Wyatt,
Soupy Sayles, Nancy Culp, and a 15-year-old singing sensation, Brenda Lee.
Look at that.
So it was a great little B-movie, 6 weeks of work, and that was actually the first interview I ever went on. But before that went into production, I went on another interview for a little series that was a soap opera that was called General Hospital. So I was on the first year of General Hospital. Did the Real McCoys after that. Then from there, the Munsters came along.
Very cool. And you did some guest roles, too, like on Bonanza and Rawhide and My Favorite Martian in between all this as well.
Yeah, I was always very busy doing guest starring roles. And back then, they had a lot of old shows. And there was Alcoa Theaters and a lot of shows that aren't on today. But I kept very busy
they
before the Munsters.
They kept you very busy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, at such a young age, was acting something you just wanted to do? Were your parents encouraging once you got rolling?
It wasn't really something I didn't dislike it. I really had no opinion on it. It came easy. And I knew I was doing something special, and I thought it was fun, and I knew I enjoyed it more than going back to boring old elementary school. So with that in with that in mind, I thought this isn't so bad, and I kept so darn busy that it was fun. And like I said, it came reasonably easy to me, and the rest was just somewhat history.
Well, this is pretty cool because Universal Studios, of course, was best known from the 30s through the 50s as the home to the Universal Monsters, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Werewolf, among others. And the idea of a family about comical monsters was first suggested to Universal in the 40s, I think, by Bob Clampett, who was an animator for Looney Tunes.
That's correct, yes.
And it was nixed. Rocky and Bullwinkle writers Alan Burns, Chris Hayward also pitched a series. But it was a script by Norm Lemon and Ed Haas called Love Thy Monster. And these were Leave It to Beaver guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Joe Colley, Bob Mosier, who created Leave It to Beaver, and also Amos and Andy before Leave It to Beaver. It's funny when you mentioned the cartoon guys, because some of the most talented and funny people in Hollywood in the 30s, 40s, and 50s were cartoonists and animators. And they would get away with things through cartoons.
Yeah.
And to this day, they all have these little secret eggs in a lot of these movies and stuff that these guys, because I did the Phantom Toll Booth for Chuck Jones when I was 14, and I learned a lot from him, and my grandfather was actually an animator for Disney. But those guys back in the day, a lot of them were behind the scenes in animation, and then they transferred over into sitcoms.
You know, you think about those creative minds. Obviously, when you're doing animation, you know, that takes a ton of creativity. So, you know, coming up with something like this seems like a natural.
Oh, absolutely. There's such a talented pool. There's the people that do the voices, the Mel Blanks, the June Forays, Dawes Butler, all those people. And it's kind of like a subculture of comedy that was its own little clique. You know, these guys were like, you know, basically they were very, way ahead of their time.
Sure, sure. Now, there was a pilot that was done. It was done in color, which is it's still bizarre to watch that because it's a slightly different cast. And Fred Gwynne as Herman looks a little different with the makeup and everything. That didn't quite click, and I know there was like 500 kids that, and you think about this, 500 people auditioning for the role as Eddie Munster in the Munsters. right?
Yeah, and at that time, I wasn't even living in L.A. I had gone back to live with my grandmother. I was in the fifth grade. They, to be perfectly honest with you, Bill Mumy was their first choice, and he didn't want to do it. His mother didn't want him in makeup.
Yeah.
Plus, he was working a lot. I think a series would have probably, you know, held him back because I worked a lot, but this guy was over the top busy. Then what they did is they had a kid named Happy Derman and Joan Marshall playing the mom as the Phoebe role, and he played Eddie Munster as a very rabid, angry, aggressive little kind of guy, scratchy, itchy guy.
Not a happy-feely kind of guy.
Not a happy guy for Happy Derman. And so what happened, apparently at the last minute, they brought in some star power, which was Yvonne DiCarlo.
Of course.
And they decided,
big movie actress.
And they decided to go with a more likable kid, more like a Beaver, more like a Leave It to Beaver type character.
Yeah.
And my agent sold them on me. So they said, we've looked at every kid in Hollywood. She goes, true, but he's not in Hollywood. He's in Illinois. I was down the street in a little town called Geneseo, not too far from here. And they flew me out, and we went over to the studio, and that was the rest was history.
And of course, Fred, Gwynn, and Al Lewis, they were in Car 54. Where
Correct.
Are you? So they had some good chemistry already going.
They had they were a very good comic team.
They were really something. And I think about this all the time. Butch, that the show, and I know, you know, today, you know, they're doing 18 episodes, 13 episodes, mm-hmm. 22. You guys did like 30, 35 plus. And this show was only on for 2 years. And you think about the chemistry that the cast had. Mm-hmm. It's still one of the funniest shows that still stands up today.
It really does. A lot of people. And it's when you watch it, it's, you know, the obvious is the interaction with the actors and the writing. But when you go past it and you listen to the music and you listen to the editing and the sound and the Foley, and then you listen to and look and then visually you look at the lighting and the editing and the sound and the set design. I mean, just the special effects and the sets. It was done very much like a little mini movie. The lighting, the film factor and all that stuff and all the above, it made it look like a little quality movie.
But this was, I was going to say, Universal obviously produced the Munsters as well, but they were able to use these copyrighted designs mm-hmm. of Frankenstein. You know, that wasn't just something you could go out and do.
No.
I mean, Universal owned that right to do a lot of that stuff. And the makeup of the show was created and applied to the actors by makeup genius Bud Westmore, which is pretty cool. And the house. I mean, just so much of everything on here, a lot of the elements of the house and Grandpa's little, what do you call it? The
dungeon.
The dungeon was, there's parts and pieces, I think, from Frankenstein, the original movie in there, right?
Yeah, a couple things that a lot of people don't know is I always just call them Chuck and Dave. Chuck and Dave were the special effects guys. And we were doing old school special effects. We, you know, wires, smoke machines, smoke pots, stuff that, you know, by today would be like archaic stuff, but it was very cutting edge at the time.
Absolutely.
And each one of them individually went off to, one went to Lucas and one went with Spielberg. So they both headed up these incredible sets and stuff. So we know we had this raw talent that was doing really great things. The music, Jack Marshall won an Emmy, which I wasn't aware of. You know, won a Grammy for the sound.
Wow.
We had the best guest stars lined up to come and do the comedy routines. We had Paul Lynde as Dr. Dudley, hilarious. Harvey Korman, pre-Carol Burnett show. Don Rickles, Frank Gorshin.
Rickles was not everything in the 60s,
wasn't
he?
Yeah. I mean, literally, I mean, it was interesting to see all these great. Dom DeLuise did his first TV role when he replaced Paul Lynde as Dr. Dudley. So we had a lot going on there. Not to mention the cars. We had the cars. We had the special effects. Like you mentioned, the Westmores owned Hollywood. Each studio had a Westmore as head. You know, you had Wally, Frank, Monty, Bud, Purse. And then at Universal, we had Purse, Bud, and Michael Westmore was my makeup man, who his daughter now hosts Face Off.
Okay. All right.
Mackenzie.
Okay. Now, the house was built in 1946 for a movie called So Goes My Love. And then it's funny to hear they put it into storage.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime in the 50s, they assembled it, you know, with other homes on the back lot. And until the production of the Munsters, the house could be seen on other shows, and I think it still can be seen on other shows. Like, there's, like, Desperate Housewives in the 2000s. You can see these things in the background, which is crazy. But, you know, it's iconic. Just looking at that house, you know where it comes from.
Oh, yeah, and you look across the street, and there's Marcus Welby's house, and you look two doors down. There's the Beaver house.
Yeah.
Over here, you have one of the, I think it was the Big Valley Western house. But, Colonial Street was really a cool. And that was one of the things in my book. You mentioned Munster Memories. At the end of the book, even though I put it together, the editor said, well, what about your memory? And I said, well, my memory really wasn't from the Munsters. It was from when I wasn't working, going around Universal as my own private little, you know, let's go find out what's going on today and who's new on the lot.
Yeah. How cool is that for a little kid exploring
awesome.
Hollywood like that? Yeah.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir.
as they're listening, if they want to be part of the coolest fan group in the world, the official Munsters fan group is run by my missus.
All right. Okay.
And we have more interaction and more fun with the fans and stuff. So if you like the Munsters and you like seeing some neat stuff, you got to check out the official Munsters fan group.
And where do you find that? Facebook?
On Facebook.
Facebook. Beautiful. All right. Butch Patrick, thanks, buddy, for being
Thank
here.
Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate it. Happy Halloween to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's 720 WGN.